Hi everyone, welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 62 for January 15th, 2019. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and today we are going to be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I have put the list together for what we're going to talk about today. You should be seeing that on your screen while I'm talking. And we are going to get to as many of those as we can today. As I said, we're broadcasting live on YouTube, but I'm also posting the audio-only version of all episodes on as podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and wherever else people listen to podcasts. So just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research, and I developed the show with Dean Jenkins of Follow Me Trades, but he is off this week as moderator, and I have Mike Pisani back to moderate today. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Thanks, David. Great to be back on. Love this show. Love the format. So today, here we are, January 15th. We're in the second full week of trading of the year. It's been a news-filled week between Brexit and Fed talk and earnings kicking off. And I have two very respected traders with me today, and I want to let them both introduce themselves to you. So I'll start off with Christian. Christian Fromhertz from Tribeca Trading Group. Please tell us a little about yourself and what you do.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Hey, Mike. And thanks for having me on, David. Great to be back on the panel. And so my name is Christian Fromhertz. I run the Tribeca Trade Group. What we basically do there is we run an all-day trading room. I do a lot of swing trading, day trading. My goal is to kind of really get in front of trends, try to find, you know, basically trade whatever is moving quickly. So I am a momentum trader. I would categorize myself as well. And during the day, we look at option activity. We look at, fund flows, ETFs, a lot of institutional flows, just to kind of give us a heads up and a beat to what people are either buying or selling these days. Yeah. And I echo what you were saying about the market. That's a great thing about, being a trader and being in this market is it's never dull, and it certainly hasn't been that way the last couple of weeks. There's always something. It's exciting every week. There's a plethora of events to kind of get your arms around every week. So again, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Christian. I'm also joined by Oliver Schmalholz of newsquantified.com. Oliver, welcome. Tell us about yourself and what you do.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me on there today again, David. And good to talk to you again, Mike and Christian. So a little bit about my background. I'm originally from Germany. I live in Arizona in Scottsdale, and I run a firm called News Quantified. Started it back in 2012. And what we do is analyze the impact of news on US stocks. And there's thousands of daily news items, but it's really only 3% that move the market. And we find you those 3%. So you can profit both on the long side and on the short side. And it's an exciting time. The earnings season is just about to start. So plenty of opportunities there. And looking forward to sharing more in the next 55 minutes or so. So thanks again for having me.
Thanks, Oliver. Myself, I'm Mike Pisani with smartoptiontrading.com. If you want to know more about what I do, visit my website. I really follow the option flow and technical analysis, and I'm all about either swing trading or momentum trading or scalping the markets depending upon what they dictate to me. And right now, I've been much more tactical and very quick in and out of the markets, not a lot of swing trading. And I use the option flow to basically tell me where to be on that particular day. And, when they want a name, they'll come after it. Like earlier this week, they came after Facebook yesterday. The next week's 150 call is hard. You got a two-day move out of it. So we look for moves like that that help us tell us where to play, long or short, and where they're trying to move names in the market. And that is really helpful if you're a day trader. It also tells you where to set up as a swing trader when you see big buying in names that is not short-term, that's longer-term based. Myself, I've been trading the markets now for about 11 years. And, for me, this is an everyday job. I do this full time and just love it. And as Christian said, it's always something new every day. So guys, with that said, I'd like to start off before we go into the names. We have 15 names and I got two that were added to the list in Google and Baba. And if you're listening to us live, if you just send us a message, we can add a name in there real quick. Let's just talk the overall markets and what you think is going on here and where we may or may not be heading. And Oliver, why don't we start with you? You want to give us a quick minute or two on what you think?
Sure. A lot will depend on the upcoming earnings season to see where company profits are, and where the guidance is. So listening in on those conference call beyond just the initial earnings release will be pretty important. As we saw in the last quarterly earnings here, Apple, a great example, beats the market, then sneaks in there in the conference call. And by the way, starting from the next quarterly earnings, we're not no longer going to provide unit sales. So stuff like that can override the general direction, what you're going to typically see in an earnings event. So as we've been in this extended, you know, up market ever since 2009, it's more important now to be more cautious than it was like a couple of years ago. So I think exciting times, but read the small print.
Okay. Christian, how about you? What are your thoughts here on the market as we move into earnings season?
Yeah, sure. And I think just, you know, over the last couple of weeks, you know, just I'm basically just trying to simplify things down a little bit. You know, I know a lot of people have valid points about overhead resistance, trend lines. I've got them on my chart. I'm watching these things too. But, you know, I'm just basically taking one day at a time and watching some short-term moving averages to tell me if the short-term trend changes. And really what we've been kind of encountering the last couple of weeks is there's been a number of names, you know, if you look at the overall indices, yeah, they're still below the 200-day moving average, but there's been a lot of strength in single names. So really just kind of not making things too complicated, because we really have a complicated environment. As was just said, earnings, which is going to be a huge driver. So I think that I agree is very important to keep an eye on. And there's going to be some landmines out there with names warning here and there. But, you know, really just kind of taking things and just simplifying them and just focusing on what the short-term trend is. Because, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of overhead things to do. Everybody was tweeting out the NIMO the other day. So there's a million things to tell you to be, you know, to tell you to be cautious or to not trade. But if you're just simply watching price action, I think there's plenty of opportunities out there.
Thanks, Christian. And you guys both brought a couple things up that I'm in. So to your point, we've come into this 260 range on the SPY, 2600 of the ES, which is where we broke down from, right? So this is your first major resistance. And for me, you know, until we take back some of these bigger moving averages, like the 50-day, the 100, the 200, we're still in a weak market. That said, a lot of individual strength out there. I'm one of those guys that talks about the oscillators, and they are beyond overheated and not cooling off. But at the same time, we went beyond oversold, and it didn't matter when we came down in December, right? They just kept getting, you know, beaten up and nobody cared. And this market's not extended. And the one thing that I've noticed, the last six sessions, we bought the weakness back on every dip, right? Every day, every little weakness that creeps into the market, they instantly come and they buy it back. They're just not really trying to move the market up into this. And to me, the banks spoke out big yesterday between Citigroup and then JP Morgan this morning and Wells Fargo. None of them, the earnings were particularly great, but they bought the weakness in the banks back and they took them green, especially JP Morgan. I thought that was probably one of the worst banks so far. So to me, this says there's a bid under this market. At least they're not willing to sell it off right here and play the price action, because there's a lot of that out there. And right now, the price action looks good. Even though volumes dropped way down, it still looks good. So with that said, we have a nice list today. So TTD is the first one. And Christian, let's start you off with this one.
Yeah, let me go ahead and get, I was just looking at that, and that's a great name. You know, whoever brought this name, I'm glad they put it on my radar, because it's been one of those names that had good earnings, and, you know, it doesn't look bad, right? Speaking of the trend, it's above the 200-day moving average. It just really hasn't had any momentum to it yet. And it's really interesting because this is one of those that it's in the application enterprise software group. And some of these names have just been taking off like crazy. So I think it's one of those things where you just kind of have to be patient. I mean, Coop went today, Salesforce, Hubs, you know, these are all, I mean, this group is so strong right now. Some of these barely look like there's, you would say, correction. And what correction in some of these names?
Look at Twilio.
Yeah, I mean, Twilio is another one. I mean, there's a whole group of these that I think it's the strongest group out there is this application, enterprise, and infrastructure. And they were some of the first names to really kind of come back very strong. But yeah, Twilio 52-week high today. So where was the big correction in this name? So you do have to laugh a little bit with some of this stuff, because some names, you know, as said, they just don't look like you know, some other names that have just gotten gotten beaten down, and you mentioned the banks, which I agree with. But so let's give some analysis here on TTD, because I think this is a good one to watch. But I think just the technicals, you know, I use value areas on my charts. They really kind of give me a sense of where, you know, buyers and sellers have met up previously. I'm waiting for this thing to get, and it's funny because we gave a webinar on this last night, some of which being a little bit patient with some names and just waiting for a good level to trade against. I would actually wait for this thing to go a little bit higher. That 136.64 coincides with that trend line that I've got drawn. So if you're in it, I would stay in it and maybe use the 50-day moving average as your stop, which is the purple line on my charts. But I think this thing has a chance to kind of rip higher, but you just got to have to kind of wait for it to do its thing.
Thank you. Oliver, how about your thoughts on TTD?
Yeah, if you look at the last couple earnings here in the past year, there were all beats. The first three had all double-digit significant moves here, the February, May, and August. But the last one in November had a pretty weak single-digit gain here. Actually, it first went down a bit and then it recovered by the end of the first 4 p.m. Session. And it wasn't decent volume, so five times usual levels, that's what we measure. But there was absolutely no follow-through after it. So just what Christian said, no momentum in there. We're now trading at 110% of regular volume, and we were trading way higher when we had that 43% initial day gain. And you saw this huge move into the August earnings here, just kept going up until the like 2 weeks before earnings here, July 23rd was the peak, and bouncing around a little. So I think it's probably safe to say that there won't be a whole lot happening here until we see the next earnings date, and then we could see this range bound price action here move either direction depending on what the earnings are.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
So for me, I see a chart that's consolidating one hell of a move, right? You go back to a year ago and we were trading down at 49 and then we hit a high of 160. That's, that's a three times game, right? That's a 300%er. And all it's done now, when this market pulled back and corrected, this name, went to that big gap it had from, you brought up the August earnings call. It didn't even fill that gap. It didn't even touch the 200 day. This name has showed incredible strength. So I think I agree kind of what Christian said. I'd be long at versus the 50 day and may wait until earnings before it goes. And the one thing you can look at this name, it likes to wait till earnings and then it moves big on earnings. And then it kind of just consolidates around that for a bit. So I don't play earnings, so this is not a name I'd stay in for earnings. But at this point, given how strong it was, I would look at the earnings date. And if I saw earnings was a way out and the other names in this sector were good, I would try to play this for a run into earnings, but I would be out of it before earnings for me. By the way, Twilio, somebody late this afternoon bought weekly 107 calls, a decent size on them. So there's a little one for if you guys are watching for a trade tomorrow, keep an eye on that name the next 2 days. Next up, Oliver, let's start with you this time. Facebook. This
sure.
Thing's had a hell of a move at this point off the lows.
Absolutely. And from what we saw in July, that major earnings miss, the last earnings, came in pretty good and then kept, that was the end of October, kept going down here in the 124 area, being pretty well recovered. I think the usage data, it shows people are still active on Facebook. Instagram is growing nicely among, the younger audience. I don't think Snapchat is really taking over here, isn't a major competitor. Where it could impact, the core Facebook user group. So pretty much all the latest news items here, so no buy or anything today here, all low impact. So kind of a hold here wouldn't be a buy signal for us here today at News Quantified.
Okay, Christian, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and Yeah, we've got earnings coming up. What at the end of the month, right? So, I think this name has made a nice little rebound. I think people were playing this as I think you mentioned already. There was definitely some option activity in the name, and I think there was some nice bottom feeding going on here. It's probably the name got a little bit too cheap. I'm not a fundamental person, but probably got a little bit on the cheap side, and it's got some momentum to it. I do see on the weekly chart that we are running into resistance on the weekly chart, which is right around 149. So basically right where it is. And if it can manage to get into the value area for the year, then I think it's got something behind it. But, a very simple approach right now, if you want to be long, maybe there will be some more short covering going into earnings. If you want a couple week trade so that you don't have to really mess with earnings, you can basically stay long versus 146, maybe hit a target up here. I do see a virgin point of control, so a high volume like node where previous buyers and sellers have met up before at 154. And you could basically just have a really tight stop on it from here. But I think it's made a decent move. I'm not in Facebook or anything like that. Just kind of been watching what it's been doing. But that would be the simple approach. Trade it versus 146 and maybe take some off at 154, looking for a kind of run into earnings type trade.
For me, I traded it yesterday when they started buying the Jan 25th 150 calls over and over throughout the day. And I didn't get back in it today, so I missed the second half of this move. But a lot of those calls today, too, I noticed they were closing them, right? And you can see them as they start coming in. The nature of the flow starts to change. They're coming in more mid or more, closer to the bid. It means they're closing them out. It popped right to where it should have today, right to the 100-day, right to the top of the Bollinger Band, right? Both were resistance there and to pull back. For me, this is a big move off that 122 area, off the lows from December. It's moved up nicely. It's all about earnings now on the 30th of January. And we're going to get our first real test of earnings here on Thursday with Netflix. So for me at this point, other than a scalp trade into Thursday night, I'm not going to look to be long this ahead of Netflix. Because if Netflix is bad, I do think that's going to set the tone for a lot of these big high-tech beta names, the FANG names out there. So everybody's going to be watching that one closely. And so I'd wait for that. That said, if Netflix is good, I think you said 154. I mean, I can make a case that this thing can come up and kiss the 200-day at 157. It has not been there for a long, long time. So it might take earnings to do that, but this thing can definitely start to move at that point. All right. So next name up here is it's one of those names that is just probably one of the toughest names to trade. And Christian, we'll let you start with this one. It's Tesla. For me, I love this name because it can move so big. But man, every time this thing looks good or bad, it seems to go in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a whippy name. And I just want to see when it reports earnings. I think nowadays, right now, is where we have started at the official earnings season. So we got February 6th. So you have a couple weeks before Tesla reports earnings. The reason why I bring that up is, when you're looking at option flow and so forth, it could be very noisy around earnings season. It's one of the things that I will do as soon as we see something that was aggressively bought. I want to know when they reported earnings, or I want to know the date of, how far do I have? Because, we never really know what they're doing with option flow. No one has a call into whoever the buyer is. So we have no idea. But that said, it's a couple weeks away. And if you look at the weekly chart, so first of all, it's been very range bound, even though the range has been pretty large. So it looks like it's trying again to get out of that upper range. My gut feeling, which I don't really like to trade a ton with my gut, if I'm right, as long as I have a level to trade against, but I would let this thing go up maybe a little bit higher. You could see that 350.65 is the resistance on my chart for the year. And if this thing can kind of push out a little bit further, you might have a breakout. Again, it's been doing this back and forth crazy activity now for what, the better part of a year. If this thing finally gets going, I think it could get some momentum to it. And who knows when that, if that happens before, or maybe it needs an earnings report to get going. Where I would be wrong at this point would be, looking at the 200 moving average. You could, if you want a shorter stop, I would use 326.
It's to your point, it's a tough name to put stops on because it moves so much, right? You can be wrong for $20 and then be right by the end of the day, the way this thing bounces around. So you have to have wide stops, which means you also need to trade smaller in this name, smaller positions. Oliver, how about yourself? What do you think?
Yeah. It's an interesting name, obviously, with a outspoken CEO that can move the stock with the click of a tweet. So You definitely, if you're in the position, you definitely want some alerts, set up if there's anything major happening here. Just pulled up the aggregate stats here on Tesla earnings, and let me just zoom in here a little. So in an earnings beat, on average, the stock only goes up 0.91%, which is really low compared to, where the daily volatility is. And in case of an earnings miss, we had seven of those cases here at 2.36%. And then over time, obviously, by the time you get to the next earnings date, it's interesting here that you see 4.29% until the next earnings date. On the upside, but if it drops the first day, you're still back up historically once it hits the next earnings date. So unless there's any crazy news coming out today, we didn't have any high impact news items. There was a medium impact yesterday from the auto show. A couple reports here, and so no buy triggers right now for us today.
Does your service, Oliver, is it able to go in there and really kind of tell what's good news and what's bad news? I mean, because Musk is tweeting all the time, and you have Electric out there tweeting all the time about news about what's going on with Tesla as well. It's very hard sometimes to decipher that.
So what we do is we have a historical database of over 12 million historic news items. We go back to 2006. It's all public company-related news. And we utilize that as a predictor for the future, since history repeats itself. So if you believe in the concept that human behavior, is the same on certain events, then having that information based on over 12 million historic events can really help you when an event comes out. And we have all kinds of cool filters. I can really narrow it down to what moves the markets today. And there's some events, obviously, that have more historic data points than others. And the lesser of events you have, the higher the standard deviation is, and the less the confidence level goes up in predictions. So earnings is a good example where you have a lot of data points, and the standard deviations are pretty good. It means you see pretty consistent results.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
So for me, again, Tesla to me, whenever this name looks like it's about to break out, when it was trading up towards that 375 area, you can see it just gave everybody a head fake on this second day. You got that closed at the highs, it, in the first 5 minutes, opened above it and then yanked and then get this big sell off. And for the last five or six sessions, the black line is the 21 day. And you can see it's just been riding that. You know, every pull to the 21 day has been bought, but it doesn't want to break yet to this 250 area. So it's kind of consolidating here in a very sideways channel right now. I find the best way to play Tesla is way out of the money calls or puts, depending upon what you want to do, because the name can move 10 to 20 bucks a day. And that's what you're looking for, right? You don't need to put a lot of risk at. You don't want to get caught in it, and you need to give it some room. So for me here, you get a break above 250. I do think that once we get above this 250, 251 area, it can fly back up. If you guys aren't aware, something I've been telling my subscribers for a while now is there is a big bonds coming up on March 1st in this name, $900 million in bonds that Tesla does not have the cash to pay if the stock is not above 360. So for the next month and a half, you're going to see a war in this name as the shorts try to press it down under 360. And Elon does everything he has to do to pump this name over 360 bucks by March 1st. So take your bets accordingly, right? Are you a believer in Elon, or are you a believer that the shorts will win? Personally, I think Elon and his tweets will probably win the day, even if he gets sanctioned again by the SEC one more time. All right, Oliver, we'll go back to you. How about Ford? A little bit different name here.
That new alliance they announced with Volkswagen could be an interesting scenario here. Even though Morgan Stanley says don't get too excited yet. But the whole self-driving car thing and all the electric vehicles here, I think it puts Ford in a stronger position here. And if you look at the last earnings state, let's see here, in October, even though we had inline results, the stock moved up 9.2%. So I think there's potential in there, depending, you know, how this alliance goes. But it will definitely make Ford stronger, not trying, you know, to approach the self-driving car future all by themselves. Volkswagen, where I'm coming from, is a pretty strong manufacturer here in the automotive sector in Europe. So catering to the mass market. So definitely would put some weight into that announcement.
Okay, thanks. Christian, your thought on Ford. You a buyer, seller? What do you think?
Yeah, and I like how these two names are lined up together. I don't think there could be a better format for it, but Tesla and then Ford. So I'm going to talk, I don't have much to talk about Ford, but I was just going to mention with Tesla, I think they did a really good job on CNBC Fast Money last night. They had Catherine Wood, I believe her name is Catherine Wood, on from ARK Investments, and she's been a long Tesla bull. And they also had comments from the auto show about Ford and Tesla. And it sounds like, you know, I would rather be, if you look at the two companies, right? Personally, I would rather bet on, you know, or look to invest in Tesla. They are the market leader right now. They said in this auto show, basically everybody is looking to play catch up. Everybody wants to get after Tesla.
Clarify, and market leader in the electric car space.
Exactly. Yeah. Technology. Yeah. Electronic. Everybody is gunning for that. So I would rather than play catch up with Ford. Ford, you could see it kind of just goes into, I think, what the chart is telling me here. It's in a downtrend. It needs to get back up over. It's flirting with the 50-day moving average. So it could stall out here. No pun intended. It needs to get above 913, which is top of value. And then over the two. So where I would be wrong is if it gets above the 200-day moving average and starts a new trend. But you could see it's been kind of buried underneath, $12 for a while. And then further, I wouldn't necessarily short it here because it's a $9 stock. I would just say avoid it. And where I would be wrong is if this thing can get above $10.
Okay, thanks. For me, Ford here is probably the last car maker I would play. I just, this name has been stuck forever. It hasn't been able to get going. It doesn't seem to have a lot going for it. And as you said, Christian, it's kind of flirting with the 50-day and here really having a hard time breaking through it. And if you're looking at it right here, you know, not a long-term play, but they came in today and they hammered the weekly 850 puts. Now, they're cheap at 8 cents, but look at the size. 10,800 of these at one point. They were coming in and just sweeping these things as quick as they can get them. And they, you know, which is a sure sign, they don't think a lot of this name, at least for the rest of this week. So for me, I would not play Ford. I would rather play GM.
And just to interrupt you, right? I mean, that's when you say hammered. I mean, it's an $80,000 bet. So that's most likely a hedge, wouldn't you say, in case who's long.
Or a cheap bet against some auto sales numbers coming out or something this week.
Right. But I mean, we're talking about peanuts, $87,000.
But somebody's looking for this week for this thing to sell off into the end of the week. It's basically what they're looking for. That's how I read that. They were swept. They were aggressive. They came back multiple times on it. That's pretty aggressive buying, right? They weren't a block. They didn't just go out there and put them. That would have been more of a hedge. So I think
that could have been me and you, $87,000, correct?
Yes, it could have, but you know,
that's not a big bet at all.
10,000 options commissions is not cheap, but to your point, it's not huge, but somebody's looking for a down move. Again, that said, I'd rather play GM. GM came out and they said, on what date was it? It was 4 days ago. They raised guidance for 2019. They exceeded their guidance for 2018. They're working on an electric car. They have a big investment already in there. And to me, this chart looks a hell of a lot more constructive than Ford, right? It's already above its 200-day, above all the moving averages. It's flagging here as we head into earnings. We already know earnings are going to be good. They've raised guidance. So when I look at charts, Ford to me is a name that says, I'd be careful with it. Don't love it. It hasn't been able to move for years. GM here is showing some better signs of perking up, and I think I'd rather be long this one. Anybody want to add on to this? Okay. I'm going to call an audible, Christian, and we had two names that people have asked for. One was Google, the other was Baba. So how about we throw in Google here and get your thoughts on that one, if that's okay.
Like it. Yeah, that's a good – I like the audible. Very, very good one. I mean, it had a huge day today, right? It was up, 3.3% today? Let's see. So it's to me, it looks like it's trying to turn the corner. It's stuck in the middle of, I don't want to say stuck. That's a bad way to describe it. But it is in the middle of value. We do have earnings coming up. You made a really good point with Netflix coming up. That should set the tone. So it should be a really interesting report for them to kind of get through, because I do think that they set the tone for the FANG stocks. So it had a lovely, so this is a developing weekly bar, and it may be, you know, of course you have to wait a couple more days, but you might have a nice bullish engulfing candle that will actually take out the last two candles. But again, I'm jumping ahead because we don't have, that's not a full candle yet, but really nice. It almost looked like the thing was starting to coming into today. It looked like it, you know, it recovered the 50-day moving average and started to break back below it. And it was like, you know, uh-oh, what's going to happen here? And then all of a sudden, you know, buyers come back into this thing. And I think it's, you know, I am a little bit biased. If it stays right here, you know, maybe it goes a little bit higher, I will probably be looking to go long Google for earnings. I think it's a good quality company. They've got good growth. And I like it that they haven't really run into earnings. I think this is a great place to kind of get involved versus Google. So I'm a buyer of it, even though it's kind of, you know, it's got some work to do technically. You know, we'll see. It's got that overhead resistance. I could see it. I've got a purple line up here along with, which is a virgin point of control, which is along with the 200-day moving average. So I think earnings is going to dictate which way this thing goes.
Yeah, I agree. It could run into earnings, but earnings are always tough. And this name has a history of not doing well after earnings, unfortunately. For whatever reason, no matter how good earnings are, it always seems to sell off following. Oliver, what are your thoughts?
Let me just pull up the earnings history here, and I can actually show you the past metrics here. Definitely agree with the earnings here. Look at the last four here on the miss. It dropped 5.3% on the day. And if you look at the volume here, it was here almost four times the usual volume. So 4.4 million shares. And if we look at the last three earnings beats, if you would have taken long positions in aggregate, you wouldn't have made any money yet. You would be down a fraction of a percent here. So yeah, definitely not a big follow through like you see on other stocks. The conference calls are pretty important. You know, what are the metrics like? Are there new privacy scandals coming up? They put the shutdown of the Google Plus, I think was made earlier now, so that hopefully should be gone. And actually 456% of the usual volume in the last earnings here. But there's definitely better candidates if you want to play earnings and wait for the initial numbers. There's definitely stocks that are better candidates than Google, and the numbers all back it up.
So this is where you know, as traders, we all have our misses. This was my miss today. Early this morning, we had a big order. Then I pulled it out to my subscribers, put it out there on Twitter, and I got distracted and I didn't look at it and I didn't take it. But somebody bought 600,000 of the weekly 1070 calls today, which is about 630 of them, which is a nice size order, right? You can see it here. And boy, this is the type of day you want to be in Google, isn't it, Christian, right? This is the day you want to be playing with options when you get these days. And I think to your point, it faked everybody out. It was sitting here looking weak as all heck yesterday, and it, you know, it had a small little gap up and it went, and it never looked back today all day long, right into the close just about on the highs. For me, this name is tough here. It's been beaten up. You have sexual misconduct allegations against their CEO and protests over cover up. And we all know how badly that can go in today's world and today's climate. To me, it also hasn't taken anything really back yet. You can kind of draw this trend line here that's sitting on it. And, you know, it kind of comes down and it's just a little bit above here, probably comes in somewhere around the 1100 area. So I think that would be your next area of major resistance. If it got to 1100, maybe a quick push up to the 100 day at 111.12 would be your first area. And then I think you're kind of waiting on Netflix and some of the other names to report. Google reports, I think, at the end of January in the last week. For me, I would take a wait and see approach with this name. I'm not a player of earnings. I don't know if you guys play earnings. I generally don't. And so I would kind of either day trade it or scalp it into then and then be done with it. But I would be out of it by the time earnings came.
Yeah. My approach, and I've been, you know, using this data all the way, going back to 2004. It's always the news event. That's the starting point for me. I don't blindly hold anything leading into the event. I want to see the result first and then play the history repeating itself over time. And obviously, during the before and after our market times, obviously, you know, not every stock is the same liquid during the extended hours.
And just to follow up, earnings are on 2.4 on this one. Oliver, we'll go back to you and WY, new name. What do you think?
WY, let's see here. Where's my Weyerhaeuser? That sounds real German. Pretty boring stock. You know, the biggest drops on the news side are up 3% on the best news item of the year, and the biggest drops on the downside, you know, almost 7% all batched in a single day here. That was, I think, the October earnings here. Yeah, that was a miss. So that came all batched. I don't see any signals here today. There was a neutral news item, so pure noise at 4:30, just about some tax treatment of 2018 distributions, really irrelevant to the stock.
Okay. Christian, what does your crystal ball say on this one? This is a tough name. This is not an easy one to trade.
Well, what's crazy about this name is, you know, this was it hit a 52-week high. I mean, it's just crazy. You know, I chuckle, and if anybody was long, and I don't mean to laugh, but just how quickly these moves can happen. This was June of last year. Beautiful uptrending stock, Weyerhaeuser, and just like that, hits a 52-week high. I don't know if there was news. You know, it's had a couple earnings since then, but you know, you're talking about from high to low about a 45% haircut. So where is this thing now? Well, if you kind of look at this, it's funny because my indicator here is doing a pretty good job, but this thing bounced, and that was the last this big volume area right here was where it said, "Hey, it bounced basically from here." Now where it goes from here, you know, I think it's in a tough spot, and you've got earnings coming up on the 6th. And it's kind of right center in the middle of the value area. You know, maybe it could rise up a little bit more. Your resistance would be both the 50-day moving average and 25.74. But I think you got to kind of wait for the earnings report to see if this thing has surely bottomed, because it's not really out of it. So what it's done is it's bounced, but it's still definitely in this downtrend. So you're kind of hitting, you're getting close to hitting resistance at this point. So I think if you manage to kind of, you know, bottom feed and call it a falling knife, and again right on the daily as well, this thing took out a high volume area, so there was some definite support. There was a lot of volume that happened right around here in this 2050 level, but at this point I think you gotta wait for the you can maybe take some gains if you went long there, but you gotta wait for the earnings report and to see if this thing will get out of its downtrend, and then you have a little bit of a stronger footing to it.
Let me ask you think this you know, they're in timber out of Seattle, right, the Pacific Northwest in Canada. You think this probably got caught up in all, you know, I would think in the China trade war, and that's probably going on here, right? So I think you nailed it right there. You know, earnings, would I would be more worried here is about a guidance, lowering guidance for this year and blaming China. What about you?
Sure. Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it, Christian. I don't have much to add. I mean, I'd wait for earnings. It doesn't look all that much different than the SPY, does it? Below all the moving averages, but the 8 and the 21 day, and kind of just flagging here. And I think it's waiting on a China trade deal, which I don't know. I mean, do you think we're going to get a China trade deal this year by March 1st?
I mean, my opinion is
gun to head. That if somebody put a gun to your head, not to hold you to it. But what do you think?
I mean, I think they're making progress. I'm not going to answer. I know the gun to head scenario, but I mean, I think you just have to. It's a complete unknown, right? So yep. That's why I don't like to answer the question. I think you have to just trade the price action for now and take every day as it is. But you know, this political stuff going on, no one knows, right? And it's a complete, unless you're in the room with one of these guys, you just don't know how this thing is going to turn out. You know, it's had an effect on some companies. You know, it's going to have an effect on more companies like this. So you just kind of have to play it for what it is and try to just trade around these headlines, which I know is easier said than done. But we'll see what these guys want to do. I mean, I think that's the best you can kind of do. I mean, I don't think you could really kind of put all your marbles into one, you know, line them up and say, hey, I'm going to do this because we're going to get a trade deal, or I'm not going to do this. I think the market's going to know one way or another. The price action always kind of, to me, front runs everything.
Thank you. So. I was about to say that, front runs. You nailed it. You know, and honestly, I want to add one thing. I don't think anybody knows from minute to minute in this administration what the hell is going on, because I think that's what's going on changes very quickly inside this in this administration. This is not to get political. I just think this is the nature of the environment we're in. And yeah, I mean, gun to head, I don't think a deal gets done by, I'll say it, I don't think a deal gets done by March 1st. I think they continue to go at it. But at the end of the day, I don't think they reach an agreement at this point. And I think that would be bad for a name like Weyerhaeuser. And to me, this goes on my list of China names. You know, I did a whole webinar on this. I love, you know, all the China names. Names and the names that could really benefit, like Cat and Deere and Boeing and, you know, even GM and Ford. They're all on that list for me of names I would love to own or buy, but I really want to see this deal get done before I go racing for them or have some confidence in it. And right now, given how quiet we were after this last round of talks, I didn't get the feeling there was a lot of great stuff being done there. So I wouldn't touch Weyerhaeuser here. That's my personal opinion. Christian, I'm going to stay with you. We're going to go to the banks. Now, the banks have been kind of interesting to me, and I'll set this up and then you can take it away. I mean, earnings were horrible yesterday, right? On Citigroup at first, and then they bought it back. And JP Morgan was even worse today, and Wells Fargo, and they bought them back. Bank of America reports tomorrow. I mean, what do you think here? I mean, I know it's tough going into earnings the day, but you know, we're 12 hours or so away from it. But do you buy the weakness if there is any?
Yeah. So that I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head with saying that the reports are not coming in that great. But I think what's happened here is they got to a certain level where they really got super cheap, and I think that the price is kind of showing right now with what we had with Citigroup. And I mean, JP Morgan, you know, they were down 3% this morning and came back and finished positive.
They went green.
Yeah, finished positive on the day. And, you know, it seems like you watch a lot of option activity. They were buying some JP Morgan this morning. But so I could talk for a half hour on the banks. I won't do that. I could tell you in short, I mean, I know I have a lot of colleagues. You know, used to work institutionally for Merrill Lynch, Bank of America for a long time. I could tell you, and I know people are, there's a lot of views on the banks, right? People think that the banks need to get going for the economy to show a good sign. I'm not in that camp. I just think since I used to work at the banks, it's been declining, right? If you know anybody who worked for an investment bank in the 80s, right? It was a great place to work. The margins were huge. And as I kind of got into that area I graduated college in 98 and I worked for a long time for Merrill Lynch Institutional Trading and on a few different desks. And I could tell you then that the business was doing very well for a number of years until we got up to 2007. The margins were big. The hedge funds were doing a ton of business. The customers of investment banks. Now, if you look at some of their business lines, and again, I'll try to wrap this up really quick. Sorry. But if you look at a lot of their business lines, they're just not, there's regulation. They can't take as much risk as they used to. Institutions are hardly paying any commissions. When I was trading, it used to be 3. Sometimes your best customers were giving you 5 cents.
Now, right, I'm going to speed you up here because we're running low on time.
Yeah,
yes or no? You buying Bank of America tomorrow if on weakness, or are you going to let it go?
Yeah, I'm going to let it. Sorry. And I'll wrap it up and I'll just say this last thing is that it's a different business and I'm not a buyer of any of the banks down here.
Thank you.
Sorry
for that. No, I understand. Listen, I could talk about the banks for hours too. I'm with you. But so you're not a buyer here. Even if they pop, you let them go.
Even though they're cheap and I think that they could pop and that's the only time I'll play them, I'm not a buyer of any of the banks down here.
Thank you. Oliver, how about you?
If I pull up the historic stats here for Bank of America, I would take a short position in case they miss earnings, because on average, that happened 19 times of a similar event, and stock drops 3% in a day. And then if you hold onto it for another day, you're at 5.21%. That looks like a great shorting opportunity. But the average of a 1.45% loss on a long position, there's better places to put your money to work. So I would watch if there's an earnings miss and consider a short. And then, of course, you know, watch the volume impact and see if there's volume follows through. And if Another thing we monitor, since there's a correlation of mainstream media coverage. So the more media outlets you see picking up on that news item, if you see it on CNBC, you see it on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, you see it on Yahoo Finance on the top page, all of that helps create momentum in the direction of the move. And that's the things you want to focus on.
Okay. For me, real easy here. Everybody's negative on the banks. I think I haven't touched them the last couple of days. I've missed my opportunity. I wasn't paying attention to the bounces. That's on me. It filled this small gap here. It's had a big move now with the other earnings. I don't know that I can follow through on this. I am not looking at the banks here. I do own Bank of America long-term in account as my bank exposure. I'm red. I own it somewhere up around $29 a share. So I'm down about $2 or $3 on it. But honestly, for me, I am not chasing these here. And unless I see some major change in characteristics. Okay, guys, I want to go to the speed round here because we are down to about 10 minutes or so. So now I'm going to make these quick so we can give everybody an idea of what we're looking at. So Oliver, why don't you start us off with NVIDIA?
NVIDIA, last 3 out of 4 earnings, stock went down. So be careful when the next earnings date approaches here. I didn't see any news here today. There was only one low impact item, so nothing that would trigger a buy here.
Thank you. How about you, Christian?
Yeah, I've been day trading this name a lot lately. There's been some short-term, really short-term stuff, momentum call buying in there. So I've been day trading it. I did not day trade it today. I think it's made a bounce. Now you got to let it work a little bit and kind of have it get through that tough resistance of 159. And then I would be looked to be back in the name.
For me, I'm kind of with you, Christian. To me, you know, there's too much short. They have horrible earnings, big oversupply, and I think the semis are in a cyclical downturn. I'm only day trading these things. I do not want to own these long time. Christian, sticking with you, let's go to Lockheed Martin, LMT.
Yeah, Lockheed Martin, same thing, has bounced. I would say let this thing kind of prove itself a little bit, let it get over the 50-day moving average, and then you could use that as your stop. But it's a name I would keep on my radar, but you know, maybe earnings might get it to turn around over the 50-day moving average as well.
Just interesting thought, defensive name didn't really play well with the sell-off, did it? Usually they're stronger than this.
No, kind of a mystery. The whole group, you're absolutely right. They're just, I don't know, maybe because something political is going on with
weird,
just out of favor.
Oliver, how about you? And this is a name that usually does well in this type of environment.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Look, for example, on the 9th of December, we had that Australia news announcement about the first F-35s arrive. Now, on that day, the stock went up almost 5%, 4.7%. Then on the 29th of 28th, I think, of December, actually 27th, it was in between Christmas and New Year's, stock popped 3.6% on a CNN report about the nuclear missile ready to deploy, and Lockheed Martin was tied to that reporting. So that's the kind of stuff that can really drive LMT in the upper direction. So keep monitoring the news on that.
Thank you. For me, this name is moving with the SPY, almost identical. No real difference here. If I'm going to be long names here right now, I'd rather be long names that have their own momentum. This one doesn't really seem to have it. So I will wait until after earnings before I buy. Oliver, going to stick with you. This is a big one. Apple. Everybody always wants to know about Apple. Go ahead. It seems like nothing but bad news, by the way.
Bad news. Well, it's interesting that they finally opened up the ecosystem on the TV thing, on third-party equipment that essentially puts the Apple TV in a nowhere's land. If you can have it straight on your TV, why you need another box? They definitely seem to be pushing the services aspect a lot earlier than anticipated, since the hardware business seems to be stalling here, and the growth seems to be out, in my opinion. You know, $1,000 plus phones are just too expensive. They add to a longer upgrade cycle. People hold on to their phones longer, and unless they come out with some new innovative product that makes the news, I think it'll be boring I definitely wouldn't say, we're going to see the same moves we have been seeing in the past, unless there is a major new product announced.
Thank you. Christian.
Yeah, it's a tough one, right? It's, the biggest or one of the biggest companies out there. And so here's the thing, right? It's still in a downtrend.
Thank you.
On my charts, I've got a support level. And whenever I could take my judgment out of the scenario and basically just trade against the level and see where it wants to go, I think you could do that with Apple versus 150. And that's what's, in my opinion, what trading is all about. There's an easy level to trade against. If it happens to break 150, then get out of it. Just make sure you're super disciplined. Use stock rather than options, I think, because that's only 150 is only a little bit down. And you could get out and you can get out quickly as long as you're monitoring it carefully and see where this thing wants to go. I mean, I think maybe they've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. They've got a huge amount of cash on their balance sheet. So that's how I would trade it.
So breaking news, CFO of Snap just resigned. Goodbye. I'm not sure everybody cares about that. I think I'm with you. First of all, Mia, it's only taken back the 8-day, right? So it's below all the moving averages, but the 8-day. This thing is weak. It was strong today, and the name when the FANG names are strong right at the gate. If it could get to the 21-day at 156, I'd probably look to short it there. I've shorted it once in the last week. I was looking to do it today, just never gave a reason to. The only thing that I think saves this stock is they announce what they're going to do with that buyback, which they haven't gone yet. So for me, I am very cautious on this name with earnings coming up, and earnings are on the 29th of January. What do we have? We have time for one more name, and then we'll do our goodbyes. Foot Locker, PayPal, Hoya. Let's do Hoya. Hoya is a different one, a little bit of a different name there in the Chinese space. It's an IPO. Go ahead, Christian.
Yeah. So it's trying to get out of this downtrend that it's been in. It's been flirting with this. I've been looking at this name. I think I tried trading this once and kind of got stopped out probably back here. We saw some speculative option stuff. And I kind of used my stop as the 20 period moving average. Now it's doing a little bit better. So it's showing some signs of life. It's a $19 stock. Again, I would say trade the stock, not the options, and use a stop of 17 bucks and say, let's see where this thing wants to go, because if it starts retracing some areas, I do see a big volume area that it could possibly get to is 25. But make sure that you're monitoring that stop of 17 bucks. But I like it. I would give it a shot.
Thank you. And I think you nailed something. You can make more money better on day trading common with this than options. It trades smoother and easier that way. I do that all the time in this name. Oliver, how about you on Hoya?
Since it's an ADR, there isn't a whole lot of news here in the U.S. market. Goldman had an upgrade back in December. Upgrade into a buy from a neutral stock, only moved up a quarter of a percent. Then Daiwa Capital Markets downgraded the stock. Stock went down over 5%. So definitely watch any analyst ratings changes here. But no news today for a buy or sell as of today.
What I love about a name like Hoya is recent IPOs often get a lot of momentum when they come back into it. I did trade this in the last couple of weeks. I'm not in it now. I love how it bounced to the 100-day and failed, right? That's textbook, right? Right now, they came, they let it get up to there, they pulled it back, and now it's on the 8-day and consolidating here. I do like this name. I like this name in this space. I like this. I like IQ. I like Billy. These are all recent China IPO names that I think can move. There was some big buying in this. It's since kind of, I think it all expires on Friday, so they may try to push it a little bit to save it. But overall, I do think to be long China names, you need a trade deal. If you don't have a trade deal, I think you got to be so careful in these names. They're day trades until we have a good feeling we're going to get a deal, at which point I think you buy these things hand over fist for a bounce. So guys, we are at the end of our time, and I want to give each of you guys an opportunity to tell us about yourself and if there's any trade you're looking at. So Oliver, why don't we start off with you? Tell us about yourself, how people listening can reach you, and any trades you're looking at right now.
Sure. Go to newsquantified.com. Feel free if you want to check out one of the webinars. It's right on there on the site. There was a really cool biotech set up here today that our system captured. Kitov Pharmaceuticals here, KTOV, had huge volume, 55 million shares on moved over 50%. So there's great opportunities every day. If you want to utilize news in your trading, feel free to check out newsquantified.com and look forward to hopefully connecting with you one day. So thanks again for having me on the show today and have a great Q1 earnings season of 2019.
Thank you, Oliver. Christian, please tell us how people can get a hold of you, any trades you're looking at, anything you want to share with everybody before we leave.
Yeah, sure. My Twitter handle is @CFromHertz. It's just my first name, initial, and full last name. You can find me at TribecaTradeGroup.com. We do a week trial, so you could just check us out for $1 a day and see what we do on a day-to-day basis. What I've been looking at is just, I've been, you know, just going with the strength right now. This was a name that I just got into today. I hate buying names when they're up 7%.
I was looking at that late.
Yeah, so this whole group, I mean, this is kind of a place where I've been living the last couple of weeks. Your NTNX, your Salesforce, your Hubs. I mean, HUBS has been, I'm still holding it, but I got long this name towards the end of last week. I mean, these things are all ripping to the upside. So when that happens, I want to have a couple of positions in a couple of them and just kind of hold on a little bit. So I actually kind of had to bite the bullet. I had a little bit of calls on earlier today, and at the end of the day, I said, if this thing closes on the highs, it's coming out of consolidation. And so that's Coop. It's another enterprise application software name. Again, thanks for having me on again, and great to go over some of these names. It's fun to go through these charts.
Thanks. So for me, the trade I'm still watching, and I traded it the last couple of days, is Roku. At CES last week, they raised guidance through the roof. They made a deal with Westernheiser? I always get the name wrong. One of the other TV companies. They're going to be on almost everybody's TV now when you buy it. And then the next day, Citron came out, and he panned the stock, but he's not short it. He just panned it for the hell of it. And you can see it's consolidating here on the 8-day. I think this one, if it can get back above 42, it can run and go for the 200-day at 46. So I'd watch this for a trade, especially if Netflix is good. If Netflix is good, you notice it screamed this morning higher on that. I would watch that. If you want to get a hold of me on Twitter, it's @OptionsMike. That's me right there in the middle. You can get a hold of me here. I post lots of information there for free, some option flow and charts on a weekly basis. And if you're interested in what I do, come over to Smart Option Trading. You get my free newsletter. I do once a week a video that I'll send out. Just sign up for it. If you're interested in my real-time option flow, I'm live 3 hours a day, morning videos, evening videos. It's $25 for the first month, $100 every month thereafter. Sign on up for it. I would love to have you. Christian, Oliver, it was great doing the show with you tonight. Thank you very much for being on with me and allowing me to moderate. David, a little bit over, but thanks again. Love doing the show and appreciate being on.
Yeah, great show, guys. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube if you haven't yet. I'm like 2 subscribers away from 1,000. So once I hit 1,000, that'll help help get the show more distribution. So, and if you subscribe, you'll get notifications on future episodes and that sort of thing. Also, you can subscribe to Timing Research on your favorite podcast network or app and get the audio only version of every episode. And you can go to timingresearch.com to get the archives of any of the shows. Both shows will be off next week for the market holiday and for Well 365. So if you don't know about Well 365, it's a big event that happens about every 3 months, and a lot of good presentations all week. So be sure to check that out. And then the week after, both shows will be back on the 28th and 29th. So just want to thank my guests again for this week, Christian Fromhertz of TribecaTradeGroup.com, Oliver Schmalholz of NewsQuantified.com, and Mike Bassani of AlphaShark.com and SmartOptionTrading.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.
Thanks.